The Lord be with you.
And
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a large crowd gathered around him, and he stayed close to the sea. One of the synagogue officials, named Jairus, came forward. Seeing him, he fell at his feet and pleaded earnestly with him, saying, "My daughter is at the point of death. Please come lay your hands on her, that she may get well and live." He went off with him, and a large crowd followed him and pressed upon him. There was a woman afflicted with hemorrhages for 12 years. She'd suffered greatly at the hands of many doctors and had spent all that she had. Yet she was not helped, but only grew worse. She'd heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. She said, "If I but touch his clothes, I shall be cured." Immediately her flow of blood dried up. She felt in her body that she was healed of her affliction. Jesus, aware at once that power had gone out from him, turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who has touched my clothes?" But his disciples said to Jesus, "You see how the crowd is pressing upon you, and yet you ask, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see who had done it. The woman, realizing what had happened to her, approached in fear and trembling. She fell down before Jesus and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has saved you. Go in peace and be cured of your affliction." While he was still speaking, people from the synagogue official's house arrived and said, "Your daughter has died. Why trouble the teacher any longer?" Disregarding the message that was reported, Jesus said to the synagogue official, "Do not be afraid. Just have faith." He did not allow anyone to accompany him inside except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they arrived at the house of the synagogue official, he caught sight of a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. So he went in and said to them, "Why this commotion and weeping? The child is not dead, but asleep." And they ridiculed him. Then he put them all out. He took along the child's father and mother and those that were with him, and entered the room where the child was. He took the child by the hand and said to her, "Talitha koum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." The girl, a child of 12, arose immediately and walked around. At that, they were utterly astounded. He gave strict orders that no one should know this, and said that she should be given something to eat. The Gospel of the Lord. Those who joined us last weekend at one of Father Hahn's Masses heard his homily, where he picked up on the words that his disciples in the boat being rocked by the storms said to Jesus as they woke him up, "Do you not care?" Father Hahn went to assure us that, yes, indeed, Jesus cares for each and every one of us. And Father explored the question of faith that was raised by Jesus of his disciples. In this week's readings, a question kept surfacing for me, and it's a question I think we come to ask at various times of our lives. Why do bad things happen to good people? Our gospel has two different events going on at the same time. First, Jesus is approached by the synagogue official whose daughter is deathly ill. and asks for Jesus' healing hands to make her well. Then on Jesus' way to see the little girl, we have a second event interrupt Jesus when the woman who has been unable to heal from her bleeding for 12 years seeks and succeeds in simply touching Jesus' cloak in hopes of her own healing. And while Jesus speaks with this woman, they learn of the death of the little girl. Yet Jesus continues to the home and awakens her from her sleep of death. There are some interconnections between these two healings. The woman had been suffering from her hemorrhages for 12 years, while the little girl was also 12 years old. The number 12 held great symbolic meaning of the covenant relationship with God and its restoration, just like the 12 tribes of Israel, of God's chosen people, mirrored, of course, in Jesus' selection of his 12 apostles. The woman with hemorrhages would have been unclean and unwelcome in the synagogue, yet it was the father of the girl who was a synagogue official. Even with the deep suspicions of the Jewish leaders of Jesus, the synagogue official still sought out this healer for his daughter. Out of their desperations, they sought out Jesus. And from the ritual uncleanness that both would have dictated separation, both due to blood and due to death, it was contact with Jesus that healed them. But back to that question, why does bad things happen to good people? There's nothing to lead us to believe that either of these two in our gospel were bad people and somehow deserved some divine retribution. That God would even exact some kind of retribution is defied in our reading today from the Book of Wisdom that began, God did not make death, nor does he rejoice in the destruction of the living. But then towards the end of that passage, the scripture starts to break open the reason behind this question of ours when it states, but by the envy of the devil, death entered the world. God created us to be imperishable, but it was through our first parents consenting to sin that suffering and death entered the world. It is this original sin, made possible by our own free will, that often puts us in situations of suffering. We can approach our suffering in multiple ways. One is just through resignation, locking ourselves by ourselves in the pit of our suffering. Taking this approach often leads us into grave discouragement. Another way is to receive consolation available through offering up our sufferings for the redemption of another. This is the example provided by Jesus himself on the cross when he offered up his pain and suffering and very life for the redemption of the sins committed by others, our sins. We need not face our sufferings in isolation, nor allow others to do so. In our second reading to the Corinthians, Paul writes that not that others should have relief while you are burdened, but that as a matter of equality, your abundance at the present time should supply their needs, so that their abundance might also satisfy your needs. We can and should help others through their suffering and accept the same in return for ours. When we are suffering with life challenges, it is helpful to have someone accompany us, walk with us, talk with us. Our Stephen ministry here at St. Louis de Montfort consists of volunteers trained to provide confidential Christian care to others. It's a real testament to our ministry that previous Stephen ministers recognize the love, support, and benefit of the ministry and will themselves seek out a Stephen minister when they later encounter suffering and challenges. The bulletin has more information about Stephen Ministry. If you could use someone to walk alongside you with your life challenges. When I was speaking earlier of the similarities present in our gospel between the woman and the daughter, I saved the one key commonality. In both situations, it was faith that brought them to Jesus for healing. It is true that both had reached points of desperation, but they never resigned themselves to be beyond hope. Out of faith, they approached this man, Jesus, this holy man who was reported to have driven out demons and healed the sick and lame. The woman with hemorrhages sought only to touch his cloak. And it was in this faith that Jesus confirmed that she had been saved and her condition cured. Jesus appealed to the faith of the synagogue official when others informed them that the girl had already died and not to bother Jesus. Contrast these examples of faith with the reaction the disciples in the boat had last weekend, causing Jesus to lament and question, "Do you not yet have faith?" What we often interpret as bad things happening to good people is a result of original sin and the fall in the garden. As we confront suffering in our lives, we need to remain steadfast in our faith in Jesus Christ, who offered his suffering and life for our sins. It is our faith that comforts us, not necessarily in a remission of suffering in this world, but of hope of an eternal life with God, where sin, suffering, and death have been conquered. This is the kingdom that Jesus proclaimed to us, if only we would have faith.